The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395 and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420 is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 570 KVI, the Sunday, September 15 show. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I'm here every Sunday at 11 a.m. right here on 570 KVI, dedicated to my listeners, providing you with the tools needed to make informed decisions on everything that can affect your money. And we've got some awesome guests, and that's a little bit hard to say. We've got some awesome guests in studio. Our lineup for today's show, regular contributor of the show, Lloyd Hara, who is our King County assessor. Today, Lloyd will give an overview of the assessor office, our local market, some construction projects, and much, much more of things that are happening right now over at the assessor's office. Another regular contributor to the show, Janice Hammond, owner of Sunrise Financial Services, and her services have been used with a lot of our listeners in helping them be strategic and financially smart when it comes to investing their money. Today, it's all about women. Janice and I are both women. We think we're both a little successful. So it's about women and what successful women are doing when it comes to their finances and their money. And last in studio, first time guest here on 570 KVI. I've been trying to get him in studio for a couple years now, and he's here with us to share his expertise, John O'Brien with John L. Scott. And the environment in the real estate market right now and what's happening with all the multiple offers, understanding what contingencies to your real estate contract, what they are, what they mean, is really important to make sure that you don't lose money as well as possibly lose your home. So great information and great guest in studio today. For more information on any of the topics that we discuss, please call into the show at 1-888-987-0570. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570, or online at themoneyhour.com. And before the start of the show, we always like to do a little money chat. I thought today it might be helpful for my listeners to talk a little bit about FICO and credit scores. Have you ever gone online and pulled a free credit report or a free FICO score or a free credit report through one of the individual credit bureaus and then going to qualify for a mortgage? And your mortgage lender will always let you know that they actually have to pull their own credit report in their own system. And I bet you that when you look at the credit scores, they're not going to match. And not only do they not match, but sometimes there's a huge difference in the credit score. So why is that? By no surprise, it's by design that this is done. FICO currently has 49 different credit score systems. And some of them are for mortgage specific, others are not. With this, in many FICO models, it's likely that your credit report that's being pulled, that you're doing the online free credit report, is being pulled from a different model than what actually the lender is using. This is also the reason for sometimes with a wide range of credit scores, difference between the pulls from mortgage. Even if you have a credit report pulled from for a car loan, sometimes you'll see a difference there as well. They pull from all three credit bureaus when you get a mortgage. If you go in and shop for a car loan, you can actually ask them, are they going to pull from Experian, TransUnion, Equifax? If you think that one is going to be more favorable for you, you can actually choose the bureau or the dealership that pulls from the favorable bureau. Unlike with mortgages, we're going to pull from all three credit bureaus and use what your FICO score is. And the FICO score is the middle score from the three bureaus. Now, I'm not going to go through all the difference in the models used for mortgage with the three different bureaus because there's too many factors. But I do want to go over just one that you'll see. And this is the window for inquiries, or what they call deduplicate window for credit inquiries. So if you look at Experian, and this is from a mortgage model that we're using for your credit report pull, Experian, the scores range from 300 to 850. And the inquiry for reduplication window is 14 days. So basically that means that you can have your credit report pulled for mortgage purposes. So we're not talking about if you get your credit report pulled one day for a mortgage, the next day you get it pulled for the Bon Marché or for Macy's or for Nordstrom's. It's in a mortgage period. Every time you have a lender pull for a mortgage, you've got 14 days to kind of do your shopping to where that inquiry is only going to be used for the first pull. So it's going to affect your credit score, having the credit report pulled the first time. Now for Equifax, 350 to 950 are the bracket of scores. So we said Experian was 300 to 850. So Equifax, 350 to 950. The inquiry deduplication window has been extended from the 14 days to the 45 days. So there's a pretty big difference that you can see in the actual credit score that you're going to from these two models alone, just on the mortgage side, is the fact that you actually have 45 days. So basically what that means is if you have your credit report pulled for a mortgage today, and then on the 15th day you shop with another mortgage company, it's going to affect your credit score from Experian, but Equifax gives you up to a 45-day period. Auto and mortgage inquiries are separately. Now, that's not the case with all of them, but with Equifax in the model for mortgage, it is. And then if we take a look at TransUnion, the credit scores range the same, 300 to 850, as Experian does, and they also go by the 45-day inquiry rule. So there's a lot of other differences, but I just wanted to mention one. So you could look at the predictions as far as when the potential delinquent activity might happen. Some, it's going to be looking at the potential of risk over a 30, maybe 60, and some models will look at a 90 day. So there's a huge difference if they're trying to determine your risk based on algorithms on a 30 day of delinquent all the way up to a 90 day. 24 month performance period, that can be a huge difference in the different models. So basically they're looking at a history and performance period of time. So if you're looking at 24 months versus a 12 month or 36 months, I mean, there can be a huge difference in how that's going to affect your actual credit score. And then predicts a borrower's potential for being 90 days. Again, a little bit different than what you're from delinquent, a little bit different than what you'll see on the shorter period of times. All non-inquiries for or activities for anything outside of what they call alternative credit. So we'd be talking about telephone, utilities. Some of the models are not going to use that. Other ones will. Now, where they're going to use it is if there's delinquent activity, because that's the only way it's actually going to be reported to your credit report, is if there's any delinquent activity and those go to collections. And the length of time from the delinquent account, that's a big one that you're going to see a huge difference in some of the models and how they pull that. Again, there's 49 different models. So the chances that one that you're using through one of these free online services, chances it's going to be one of the ones that's used through the individual bureau for mortgages are going to be really slim. And I've seen 100 points difference from a credit report that a consumer has brought in. That's not average, but I've seen it many times where you've seen 100 point spread. And where you're usually going to see that is in delinquent activity, in how long of a period of time that you have to recover from that delinquent activity that's going to start improving your credit scores. So just something to keep in mind that it's a good habit to get into, to do some online service to get an idea of monitoring, to make sure you're not having identity theft, things are not getting reported that shouldn't be there. But as far as the actual score itself, just know that chances are when you go in and apply for a mortgage, the credit score is going to be different. And that's why, because of all the different models. Now, I also want to bring up to you just really quickly trigger leads, because in the interest rate environment, even though we've seen interest rates about 1% increase from the lowest period that they've been, they're still really historical low interest rates. So in this environment, you really start noticing trigger leads. And what trigger leads are is when you have your credit report pulled for mortgage purposes or any other type of debt, as a consumer, you may not know that it is actually legal and it's happening all the time that your information is being sold. So go Google trigger leads and see how much information is out there on you that lenders can purchase to find out that you just pulled your credit report from another lender, which triggers an opportunity for a competitive lender to be able to call and promote you to do a refinance or whatever you're looking at doing at that time. So just trigger information to be able to opt out. I'll give you the number really quickly, 8885 opt out, or you can go online as well. And each year King County Assessor's Office sends their staff of real estate appraisers to value more than 660,000 residential and commercial properties throughout King County. These valuations are used to calculate your property taxes, and it's always great and a pleasure for me to bring in Lloyd Hare, our own personal King County Assessor, who today is going to share some important information you won't want to miss out on right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar and Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I'm here to empower our community, providing you with opportunities and solution when it comes to everything regarding your money. And our first guest in studio today, King County Assessor. We've had him in studio many times, so some of you, for our listeners, have heard him before. Very fortunate to have him take time out of his busy, busy day to come in and share his wealth of information on what's happening at the assessor's office and how it's affecting your actual property taxes. Lloyd Hare is a respected veteran public official, was elected assessor November 3rd, 2009. He has a record of tireless advocate for taxpayers and champion on openness and transparency for government agencies. His most recent service as Seattle Port Commissioner brings new levels of accountability and leadership to change the port. So, Lloyd, thank you so much for sharing your time with us again.
Tina, it's always a wonderful time to be with you.
And love your glasses.
Oh, thank you.
So
normally,
Lloyd,
I don't wear them.
I know. It's new. They look great. So, Lloyd, let's go ahead and give kind of a quick overview. We probably have listeners that have not heard you before. And just an overview of the assessor's office and what you do.
Annually, we appraise over 700,000 parcels.
Ooh, 700.
Well, you know, King County's growing. It's 700. It's around 660 some thousand residential and commercial properties, plus around 52,000 or thereabouts, what we call personal property accounts. We roll that in terms of coming up with the annual valuation, and we do that annually. 1/6, we walk the physical property, so we do around 140,000 physical visits.
So if you're listening, you get a knock on the doors from the assessor's office, you can actually let them in. Let them into your house and let them do an interior inspection of your home.
That's true.
I'm waiting, Lloyd. No one's come knocking at my door.
Well, you're always working, so we probably knock on your door and you're not there.
Yeah. So, Lloyd, I know that new commercial value figures are available. Can you go over these and compare to previous years?
Well, commercial values have been... activity has been overall been increasing, and as you can see by the towers that are in the King County skyline, especially in downtown Seattle and in Bellevue, which is a very positive sign, we see construction starting up again, and in fact we're probably one of the top five metro areas in the country.
Wow.
So investors are coming here and clearly making their mark on the greater Seattle area market.
And what is this in comparison to what we've seen? So how are we? What type of improvement are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing it overall in general new construction. We're probably up around a billion for over the previous year. The high water mark was in 2008, where the within King County, both in dealing with residential and commercial, was around $8 billion in new construction.
Wow.
So it dropped way down to little less than $3 billion during the fall of the market.
Okay.
So it's now starting to edge back up as you can see things.
So, Lloyd, what type of construction projects do you see or do you have coming up?
Well, we have a lot of them. Well, even just outside the studio.
Okay.
Right? You see
There's a lot going on outside the studio. I'm turning around here.
Right. And you see, a brand new building going up.
Uh-huh.
And this is not unfamiliar. You see a lot of activity in the Belltown area and what we call the Triangle, Denny Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that driven in at least South Lake Union by Amazon and all of its various companies that are relocating there. And in fact, yesterday there was a major sale where, can you believe, a company came in and bought a building that Amazon currently is occupying. Bought the whole building for
residential building.
This is a commercial.
Oh, okay.
For around $750 a square foot. The previous high was around $680, which was a little earlier last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, since I've taken office, I'm just absolutely amazed where you're now at $750. When I was here, folks were lucky to get, this is for prime class A office space, around 400. So this is a fairly significant increase.
So are you seeing the same as we're seeing in residential? Because that's the arena that I am in, residential. So I'm seeing what's happening out there on a daily basis. But are you seeing lack of inventory in the commercial like you are in residential?
There is a lack of inventory.
Okay.
And if you have a house that, you or your spouse want to buy, the inventory is somewhat limited, and as a consequence, a lot of those properties are being bid up.
Yeah.
Especially in what I classify high-end neighborhoods. We're seeing a major increase that's occurred during the what we classify as our year, 2012, 2013, in our dealing with our valuation year, which is January 1st, 2013.
And so if you're listening, so you understand, the property taxes are, when you get your taxes that show the assessed value of your property, it is taking place from the previous year, which it's amazing how a lot of people still don't realize that, and it can be kind of confusing.
That is correct. So we lag 12 months plus for our value. So
Lloyd, what do you see in our market here in comparison to other markets?
Well, we're very strong
overall,
and it's closely correlated to jobs and income. And so we do have a significant growth on good, high-paying jobs in the greater
And I think people
King
forget
County
how
area.
Fortunate we are here and the opportunity that we have. So talk about incomes and the difference of our income averages or brackets here compared to other parts in the country.
We're probably clearly within the top 10 and
okay.
continuing to be there. Washington, D.C. is the highest, and because of a lot of the government jobs there. But, we're still within a fairly significant per average wage here. It's, it's very good. It's in the $60,000 range, so it's very high.
Not too bad.
Right.
And 60,000, you can still find possibly a real estate property in our market away.
Well.
that's the only disadvantage is, having a great market. It's expensive sometimes to get in some of the prime areas. So Lloyd, let's talk about, there's two types of property taxes, real property and personal property. Can you share with our listeners what personal property is and how to find out if they're in compliance or not?
Personal property is that movable property that you use to run a business.
Okay.
So here at the radio studio, it would be like the computers that we're using and the other equipment, the microphones, et cetera. And there is a value that is placed on that in order to run your business.
Okay.
And so on April 30th, everyone is supposed to send us their affidavit that they have X amount of property. And we're working hard to make sure that everybody complies with the law. And so it's good for people to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then based on that, there's an adjustment too.
We do. It is adjusted. There is a formula that's put out by the Department of Revenue.
Okay.
That depreciates property. So if you buy it new, it's new. And then each year, depending upon what the equipment is, it's discounted.
Okay. And how can they set up the account, Lloyd?
It's real easy. We just contact our office and either by going to our website or emailing us or by telephone. And we'll be, or they can also go to our website and pull down the forms that are necessary to fill it out.
And that's kingcounty.gov.
That's kingcounty.gov/assessor.
Okay.
And so you just go to personal property within one of the icons and you'll get the basic information.
So talking about going online, you guys have some, you have some awesome tools over there for consumers to be able to utilize. Let's talk about the e-listing and the benefit to that.
Well, e-listing lists all the personal property that you have in your own personal account to make sure that you've properly updated it. And then you can go through, or if you have depreciated fully a property and sold it in surplus, to make sure that we take it off the records.
Okay.
So supposedly you're supposed to do that every year, and we get this affidavit so that the property listing is most accurate, and it's up to you to file in a timely manner. It's coming like you're filing your personal income tax.
Sure.
You know, the burden is on you.
So, Lloyd, let's also remind the listeners, especially new ones, is that it's so surprising that majority of homeowners don't understand that just a percentage of their property taxes is based on the assessed value. And what is that, 40-some-odd percent?
Well, it varies depending upon where you live.
Okay.
Probably one of the lowest is if you live in the city of Seattle, which is running probably a little bit greater than 25%. If you live in an outlying community, say over on the east side, it could be up to 50%.
Okay.
So it varies
greatly. And Seattle less because there's so many more levies that they're voting in.
Well, not necessarily. It's okay. Based on the total valuation and the amount of income that's required to run the governments that operate within the city of Seattle. And part of it is the special levies in certain areas, as I mentioned, are based on the amount of income that's required. This is an income state, not a levy state.
Okay.
So the amount of income is also limited by a 1% rule. So a government cannot get greater than 1% of the previous year's total income to that jurisdiction. There are add-ons like special levies, which you vote, and we voted a lot of them this year. And so that will be added on to your tax bill. And like I said earlier, we have some communities where up to 50% are voter-approved levies.
So it's important. It's important that you pay attention to what you're voting for because it is going to affect your property taxes. And that's why you can see sometimes when people come in to talk about mortgages and we're looking at payments, they're wondering why one home, relative, it seems like it's in the same area, but it's actually in a different area as far as what they're voting for levies, and their taxes are higher than another comparable house. And that's why.
That's true. You know, but in general, I think property taxes, if you look nationally, we rank around 29th out of the 50 states, so it is not a high property tax state.
So, Lloyd, we've got a minute before we have to go to break. What's something else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I think one of the things that one should take a look at as the property valuation cards go out, postcards.
Okay.
And if you're unhappy with what you think the value should be, there's two methods you can do. One, you can call our office and say, hey, I disagree with the characteristics that you have on our property. Or two, we've just installed a new online system called eReal Property. And you can get that at kingcounty.gov/assessor and look for the icon for e-appeals.
Awesome. Lloyd, thank you so much again for spending time with us in studio today.
It's great to be with you, Tina.
And if you guys want to talk to Lloyd personally, pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, it's 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com. Coming up next in the Money Hour, there are huge financial mistakes being made out there. We all know learning from others can save you money. Learn what the most successful women are doing to be financially smart. Our next guest in studio, Janice Hammond, owner of Sunrise Financial Services, will share her knowledge right here on 570 KBI after this short break.
Stop making emotional decisions when it comes to your financial portfolio. Talk to Janice Hammond at Sunrise Financial. Janice conducts complimentary dinner workshops each month. For details on the next event, visit sunrisefinancialservices.net or call 206-420-8520.
Hi, this is Janice Hammond with Sunrise Financial. If you'd like to get in touch with our office, the number is 206-420-8520 and our website is sunrisefinancialservices.net.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in, and I'll keep you informed on everything regarding your money. Next guest in studio, regular contributor, has been in many, many times, and fortunately for us and for my listeners, she's offered her services and her assistance to help our clients, our listeners of 570 KVI, save some money. Janice, I'm having a hard time with your name today, Janice. She's Louise. I'm just like slurring.
Louise, you don't have to say physically.
Physically, that is true. I can say physically really well now. Thanks for reminding everybody. Yeah. In studio, Janice Hammond, owner of Sunrise Financial Services. Janice is here to share today some of the things that successful women are doing to really make smart financial decisions. And we all know, watch the people that are doing it right and just copy and follow what they're doing. So this is kind of a show for women today. Janice opened her company, Sunrise Financial Services, to help her clients avoid common mistakes when planning for retirement. With her eyes wide open to the future, Janice recognized the need for a more conservative approach to investing that still outpaces inflation and caters to unique needs of each individual who walks through the door of her firm, Sunrise Financial Services. So Janice, let's go ahead and open it up. We're talking about women, smart, successful women, and how they're investing. And yeah, the men could pick up something from this, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so men, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Most men have women in their lives, and so it's important to listen to tips.
That is so true. So, Janice, I was reading an article in Huffington Post that said that there's 8 million female business owners in the United States. You and I both are successful business owners ourselves and work really, really hard to get where we're at today. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, we definitely have. And I think that it's very important for women such as you and I to take initiative and help empower other women with information that can help them in their own financial walk. Even if they are already considered to be financially successful, I believe there's always room for improvement and suggestions.
Totally agree, Janice. So let's talk about successful people and what they're doing differently.
Well, many people don't think about retirement until it is all of a sudden at their doorstep. And financially successful people do not wait to save. They learn how to save early, and they do not set unrealistic or more importantly, unobtainable goals for themselves. Many of them have an emergency fund established, which is important because it often stops the credit card snowball that can occur when taking care of unexpected emergencies. My recommendation is to start planning and saving as early as possible. In fact, a recent article on NBC.com said that someone who saves for retirement during their 20s and completely stops a decade later will have more at age 62 than someone who started saving in their 30s and spends most of his or her adult life trying to catch up. It's much easier to save a bit at a time than to try and to do a large amount just in a short period of time.
Makes total sense, Janice. And not that I'm in my 30s, because I'm not. I'm in my 40s, just so you don't think I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 40s, mid-40s. But let's say we have listeners out there that are in their 30s and beyond, and they haven't started saving yet. Starting those habits early, just like you said, I mean, if you can start small and build up to it, and starting early, it's going to help you in all areas as far as, you know, not maxing out credit cards or taking out credit cards. I'm not going to say that I use credit cards myself, but I use it for the low interest and for all the incentives. But ideally, you just want to pay it off every month. So should they be discouraged if they've started too late?
No, definitely not. I'm one of my favorite quotes is there's no time like the present to start planning for the future. So, that's something to always think about. It's never too late.
So, Janice, what do you tell people that are unable to save?
Well, financially successful people know where their money is going each month, and they hold themselves accountable for their spending. And I tell people to do this by reviewing if you put everything on a credit card each month and then you pay it off. Review each of the things that you spent money on and hold yourself accountable so that next time you go and are tempted to spend frivolously, you remember the month before how maybe that wasn't a good idea. Financially successful people usually have a budget set for themselves, and they aren't set on what I call financial cruise control. They know the difference between need versus want, which we've talked about quite a bit. I don't know how many people have come into my office, and we were able to cut out hundreds of dollars of wants from their budgets. Many women know what their desired weight is and how many pounds they have to lose to get there, but they have no idea where their money is going. And I've noticed a trend lately when meeting with people and digging down into their expenditures. We discover that about 15 to 20% of people's income goes towards what I call mystery expenses.
Oh my gosh, mystery expense, 15 to 20% of my income. I'm trying to calculate that in my head. Boy, Janice, I hope I don't fall into that statistic. That seems really, really high.
It is really high. And when we're getting down into thousands of dollars that are just going into a black hole, you should see the look on people's faces when they can't come up with the expenditures. And generally, if people do not know where their money is going, it is likely they are spending quite a bit of money on things that they want, not necessarily things they need. And much of that money, if it was dedicated towards it, could go into savings or even some sort of investments. Oprah did a show once that said, and she said, if you know where all of your money is going, then you have no excuses. And she is right. And granted, she might have a little more help than the rest of us. But her point being is financially successful people know where their money is going.
That is so true, Janice. When I started making money, creating a budget was a challenge. But once I got started to see kind of the benefits and how much I saved and how it became a regular routine, it makes it a lot easier. So Janice, you talk about another and more dangerous financial cruise control that you see in women that I never thought of. Can you share that with especially our women listeners? Because this one was a shocker.
Well, and generally financial cruise control is more specific to women, especially women who are 65 and older. And the reason is that men are not going to live as long as us. 5 to 6 years younger, they will die 5 to 6 years younger than us. And they have never learned how to handle their own finances. Because traditionally, the financial realm was the role of the male partner. Some women never learned about investing, how to create a budget for themselves, and really how to pay bills or just balance a checkbook.
Wow. I won't go into my own personal story, but I could see that I could actually fall into that. Dave does so much. I mean, you know, he does, mm-hmm. he does a lot for business wise and personally, but I bet that puts women at some real risk too, right?
Taken
advantage of?
Definitely. Yeah. The horror stories that I hear where women were purposely misled or deceived after they've been divorced or if their spouse passed away is really sad.
So, Janice, I heard a statistic at one of your educational dinner workshops, which you do all the time, that almost 70% of women change their financial advisor after their spouse dies. Why is that?
70%. Can you believe that? Well, that's according to Financial Advisor magazine. This tells me that women were not comfortable with the advisor that they and their spouse had chosen, or maybe they had outgrown that particular advisor, or that the women were not involved at all in their finance. This is where the gentlemen come into play. Statistically, like I said, the majority of you will not outlive your wives. So assuming that you and your wife are the same age, she will outlive you by 5 to 6 years. So it's really important that that the men have an advisor that the women, their wives have a relationship with. So yeah. If that does happen, it's a very easy transition and not stressful for a grieving widow to have to go through.
Yeah, because Dave's 8 years older than I am. That means when he dies, I'm going to live all on my own for another 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is where the gentlemen need to step up and make sure that their spouses are taken care of. So making sure that that their wife at least knows where the money is and roughly what their budget is. Because if he's gone and they've got money all over the place and he doesn't have that lined up for her, she's not going to know where it is, and it's going to be a really stressful situation for her.
So, Janice, what if someone came to you and just said, I don't have enough money? Why even bother?
Well, if you are determined to be financially successful, which I don't find is very common. Some people just don't focus on that side because they think I don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever got wealthy or financially successful by having a negative attitude about their situation. Financially successful people work hard, save hard, and have a do or die mentality about it. The woe is me attitude is defeating you before you even get started. You and I never would have gotten where we are today with that type of attitude. Mm-hmm. So I just say, $5 a week. Set up an auto transfer of $5 a week into your savings account. And when you don't miss that, bump it up to 10, 20, 25, et cetera. And that is exactly how I got started saving, was by saving a very small amount every week and mm-hmm. just making it a habit.
Say compound effect.
Mm-hmm.
Make little tiny changes, not drastic ones that are going to be devastating for you to try to keep up. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll get to those big changes that you're like, wow, how in the heck did I accomplish that?
Yeah, exactly.
So even though successful women have trouble in this area, like you said, helping others is not a bad thing. You know, let's talk about women, how women want to help others. And it's not a bad thing, but actually that can actually be, it can be devastating to themselves and their health. And so what suggestions do you have there, Janice?
Well, I do see a lot of my clients, specifically the moms out there. I mean, you're a mother bear and you want to take care of your cubs, but oftentimes giving them money when they're in financial distress might not be the best thing, especially if it means sacrificing your own retirement, because you've got a lot shorter road to retirement than your 30 or 40 year old children do. They have room to make mistakes before they are going to be in trouble. So don't sacrifice yourself or your retirement to take care of your kids. I've said this a million times. When you're on an airplane, they tell you, mm-hmm. put the oxygen mask on yourself and then help others around you. Because if you aren't able to do that, nobody else is going to be able to gain help from you.
Yeah. Janice, short time in studio, not enough time ever to get through all the information and questions I want to ask you. But thank you so much for spending time with us again, and thanks again for helping all our listeners.
No problem. Thanks,
Pick up
Tina.
The phone, give us a call right now, talk to Janice personally, 1-888-987-0570. Again, it's 1-888-987-0570, or online at themoneyhour.com. Coming up next on The Money Hour, if you're in the market to buy a home, contingencies are what protect your earnest money. Not understanding what they are, the timelines, and what to waive, maybe not what to waive in this environment, is an expensive mistake to make. Our next guest in studio, John O'Brien with John L. Scott, here to share his insight and expertise after this short break on 570 KVI.
Are you interested in buying or selling a home in Seattle's active real estate market? Over the past 10 years, John O'Brien with John L. Scott has helped hundreds of people just like you achieve their real estate goals. John knows Seattle and is committed to providing you with exceptional service through all phases of your transaction by offering extensive market knowledge, aggressive marketing strategies, negotiating expertise, and honest advice to ensure a smooth transaction from start to finish. Experience plus integrity equals exceptional results.
This is John O'Brien with John L. Scott Real Estate. Feel free to contact me at 206-799-6957 or johno@johnlscott.com. That's 206-799-6957.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar and Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and Signature Series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
This is The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I provide you news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. And first-time guest in studio, not without effort on my part to get him in studio for 2 years, but busy guy, John O'Brien with John L. Scott, is here to share real estate contingencies and purchase sell contract. And in this environment, everything that's happening in the market, John, I mean, this is really, really important stuff.
Absolutely, Tina.
Yeah.
You know, the market's still very hot, of course, depending on which area you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And contingencies or lack thereof could possibly get you the home of your dreams or not.
Yeah, it's a big topic for conversation, and so I'm just happy to have you here to share your side with our listeners. Residential broker with John L. Scott for over 10 years, one of the top producing brokers at John L. Scott University Village Branch, Seattle Magazine's 5-star and client satisfaction broker from 2008 all the way up to the present. So, John, thank you again for taking time with our listeners today.
Thank you, Tina, for having me.
So let's talk about the purchase and sale agreement signed between the buyer and seller. There are contingencies in the contract that specifies areas that they can actually exit out of the contract, not lose their earnest money, and walk away from the property, correct?
Correct. The listeners might want to think of contingencies as an opportunity for a buyer to do their due diligence on a property. Because you walk through a property, it looks real nice and seems to be in the right price point, right location, but you don't know nothing about the condition of the property. Your financing, you've been pre-approved, but you haven't been approved for the loan. So there's a lot of aspects there that a buyer needs to investigate to their satisfaction prior to closing.
Okay. So, John, let's talk about the earnest money. So an earnest money is a good faith deposit. A buyer is going to actually write out a check once that offer has been accepted. You know, we know one of the things, the higher your earnest money is, the stronger your offer is going to be to the seller. And the contingencies really protect that earnest money. So if you came in with an earnest money of $10,000, if for some reason something happens, what's going to happen with that earnest money?
Yeah. So if you fail to purchase without legal excuse, your $10,000 is at risk.
Okay.
So it's very important for buyers to understand the deadlines on their various contingencies mm-hmm. to make sure that that doesn't happen.
And that earnest money is being held?
Usually held by the escrow company, okay. which is a third-party, unbiased company that handles, takes in all the information from the buyer and the seller and basically creates a spreadsheet called a HUD-1 form okay. at the end of the transaction. So,
and I think that's important. Buyers know that they're making out to the seller. And we're actually going to have you come back in studio in a little bit to talk about for sale by owners. But if you're buying a property with no agents, you want to make sure that earnest money check is not getting made out to the seller. It's made out to the escrow company itself. So, John, there are a few standard contingencies with traditional real estate contracts. Let's talk about the first contingency, which is the most common that you actually see people walk away from the property, which is your inspection contingency. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the inspection contingency is very standard in transactions, even in a hot market. And within 7 to 10 days, the buyer is going to have the property inspected by a licensed and professional inspector.
Okay.
And they're going to get back a report saying everything that's wrong with the property. It's a very negative document.
If you want good information, I always say don't go to the inspector. If you want good things about the home, you go to the listing agent, right?
Correct.
The inspector is all the bad things.
Exactly. It's a very negative. It's yeah. a very negative report, but it's something that buyers need to know what's mm-hmm. wrong with the home.
Yep.
So once the buyer receives that inspection report, they and their agent go back to the seller and the listing agent and start negotiating repairs. So there's a couple things they can do. The buyer can either take the home as is and mm-hmm. just accept it.
Okay.
They can terminate the transaction completely and get their earnest money returned. They can ask for certain repairs to be done prior to closing.
Okay.
Or they can, in lieu of repairs, ask for a price reduction or a seller credit at closing to help pay their closing costs.
And that's an important one, John, with the seller doing a credit, because it's important to know as a buyer that there's a limit to what the seller can pay, and it's closing cost and prepaid. So depending on what you're deciding to do for points, your standard closing cost and prepaids are going to be anywhere from maybe 3-4%. So if that amount is over 3-4%, then you don't have a lot of options. You can't leave the closing table. Well, you've got options, but not in this scenario. You can't leave the closing table with cash.
Correct.
Okay. And what are you seeing as far as in inspections and waiving this contingency in this environment that we're in right now?
Well, in the Seattle area and the east side, it's such a hot market that mm-hmm. we're having buyers actually doing pre-inspections.
Okay.
So they're doing an inspection prior to submitting their offer in the hopes that their other terms, price and other terms, are good enough that their offer will be accepted. So the pre-inspection, usually your goal is to waive the financing contingency completely
mm-hmm.
and you base your offer price on the items that you found wrong with the home.
Got it. So yeah. You've got to put that in your budget if you're out there looking at homes. You might have to go through a few of these pre-inspections, and you've got to put that in your budget for buying a house.
Absolutely. And if you're buying an older home, you also might want to do what's called a sewer scope as part of your inspection contingency. And basically, you'd be hiring a different company than the inspector to run a camera, small camera, down the sewer line to make sure there's no breaks in the sewer line, there's no obstructions in there.
Mm-hmm.
And because sewer lines are very expensive to repair, and it's not a sexy repair that homeowners like to make. You know, you change out your kitchen cabinets and your countertops. That's fun because you get to use them and your friends see them. If you're replacing your sewer line, not a fun repair.
So that's kind of one that's getting lacked.
Yes.
Yeah. So, John, let's talk about what I think is the biggest contingency is your finance contingency and what that can consist of. Because finance means pretty much everything.
Absolutely. So finance contingency is very important. And it's even in a multiple offer situation, most folks are not going to waive their financing contingency unless they are absolutely certain that they are going to be approved on their loan. So the way the contingency reads, the default is 5 days. So
okay.
The buyer is pre-approved for a loan. They have a pre-approval letter, but they have to go back to their lender and make formal loan application mm-hmm. within 5 days of mutual acceptance. If they don't do that, their financing contingency is automatically waived.
And for those of you listening, you should have that completed even before you go shop for a home. But unfortunately, not everybody does that. And formal application, I mean, really an approval, you should be getting that formal loan application.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you can do it up front, you're ahead of the game. And basically what that contingency does is protects the buyer in case of something catastrophic happening during the escrow period, okay. i.e. job loss.
Yeah.
That's the major one.
Yep.
So if they were pre-approved for the loan and somehow during the escrow period, they lost their job or something happened and down the road, they're no longer approved for the loan, they can terminate the transaction okay. and get their earnest money back if and only if the financing contingency is still in place.
Got it. So what do you see normally that you see if they're not waiving it, which that's a whole nother show because you see a lot of crazy stuff going on out there, especially in your immediate market that you're in, John. But if they're not waiving their finance contingency and you're within a standard 30-day closing, when is that usually in the contract that they do have to waive it?
Well, it's only waived if the seller forces them to waive
okay.
the financing contingency. Mm-hmm. So if the seller doesn't take action, the financing contingency basically runs right through closing and survives closing.
Awesome. So what other contingencies are you seeing being added to the purchase and sale agreements that are just a little bit out of the norm, maybe, or that you're seeing that actually protects earnest money?
Well, a title contingency should always be included. If the buyer doesn't have the ability to review the title report
okay.
prior to writing an offer. Title is important because it shows what liens are on the property,
uh-huh.
if there are any encroachments or easements on the property. So the buyer has to make sure that they're going to be able to use the property in the way they're planning to use it.
Got it. And I think that, Janar, if you've caught the show last Sunday, Magnum Law Group, which another regular contributor, I think there's going to be some issues that are going to be coming up on title here really soon with the chain of title being broken, but a whole another show for that as well. So be making note of that to check your contingency for title. And what about property types, John? There's a lot of different property types. People tend to not see condos and single family as totally different transactions in the lending environment and in your environment. What different things do you see with condos versus single family homes?
Well, with condominiums, you have an additional contingency, and it's the opportunity to review either the public offering statement.
Okay.
If the condo is new construction, that's a public offering statement.
Uh-huh.
And if it's a resale condo, it's the resale certificate. And within the default is 10 days. Within 10 days of mutual acceptance, the seller has to provide the resale certificate or public offering statement. And what that document does is pulls back the curtains on the property and shows what's happening behind the scenes with the homeowners association. So you'll get rules and regulations.
Uh-huh.
You'll look at the financials of the association to make sure they're on solid footing, and also past meeting minutes of the homeowners association. So that way a buyer can look and see how the condominium association is running the building, what kind of financial situation they're in, and just make sure that, again, the rules and regs jibe with how they want to use the property.
And another thing with your finance contingency, because just because you approve on what's happening with the association doesn't mean the lender's going to.
Absolutely.
So that would be included in your finance contingency if for some reason something came up and you couldn't get condo approval.
Right. Now, lenders, you know, as you know, obviously, they're going to take a close look at not only the buyer, but also the complex.
Yes.
And if the building is in litigation,
mm-hmm.
big red flag.
Yep.
Probably
lack
not.
Of reserves is a big red flag.
Yep. Deferred maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a high percentage of units that are not owner occupied,
yep.
that's another red flag. So condos in general are a little bit more difficult, but as a buyer, you just want to do your due diligence up front and make sure that the association is strong and that the building is in good shape.
So, John, I mean, this is a big one. We're running out of time, but I want to make sure that the listeners understand, especially people just chiming in, the importance of timelines with contingencies.
Absolutely. So all the timelines are based on the date of mutual acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to work with your agent to make sure that you have enough time to do all of your due diligence. And it's really helpful to relieve stress because you're going to be looking at a lot of legalese and a lot of documents. You're going to be, you know, having the property inspected and then reading an inspection report. So you really want to give yourself enough time to do all this due diligence without having to be reviewing these documents at 2 a.m. in the morning the night before your deadline.
That's not any fun at all. What about sellers? Do sellers going to have contingencies? We're talking about buyer contingencies. What about sellers?
Seller contingencies are fairly rare. And I tell my sellers, your number one goal as a seller is to pick a solid buyer. Okay.
Of course.
The seller contingency that we've seen over the past few years, and fortunately we're seeing it less, is the short sale addendum.
Uh-huh.
And that is where the seller is disclosing that the sale of the home is not going to cover the mortgage they have on the property.
Got it.
So they're going to need the buyer's going to need both seller approval
mm-hmm.
and lender approval
yep.
in order to purchase that home.
Yes.
And that's probably a whole different show as well.
It definitely is. I can't tell you how many people that come and say they bought a house and they've got half of the contract signed. It's signed by the seller, but it's got to be signed by the lender and the bank as well.
Yes.
And what about going in and buying contingent with your well, and actually, you know what? I can't even ask that, John, because I hear the engineer just playing the music. The show's over. John, thank you. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Tina.
We're going to have you back like in 2 months.
Absolutely.
So you definitely, if you want to talk to John personally before he does come back, pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, my show number is 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com. I cannot tell you how important it is, especially in this market, that you have to have a strong agent that's been in the industry working for a long time that really is looking out for your best interest. And John O'Brien, he's my guy. So pick up the phone, give him a call if you're thinking of real estate. And that's it. It's been an hour. It seems like it's 30 minutes. I still kind of miss Mike, my co-host, for our regular listeners on the show. I'm flying solo on my own, but the time just goes by quick. And I hope that you're enjoying the extra time that we have for new guests and more people. Give me a call if there's any information that you would find beneficial that you want to hear on a future show. I love talking with our listeners, love hearing from you. And on that note, this is me, your mortgage expert and your host, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and come back same time next Sunday right here on 570 KVI.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar and Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
The preceding program was paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395 and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420 is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.